time for sport now. Very good morning, Warwick Hadfield.
Good morning to you, Hamish McDonald.
Let's start with this. Richmond's brought something novel to the AFLW draft, recruiting the recruiting officer.
Yeah, George Farquhar would approve of all this, I'm sure, Hamish. Lauren Tesorario has gone from the back office to the team proper. Now, after doing her job as recruiting officer early in the draft, which included taking Sophie Molan with the Tigers' prize number 5 pick, and then right at the end of the draft session, right down at pick 96, she found herself trumped by her boss. That was the list manager at Richmond, Kate Sheehan. Now, she insisted that Tesorario recruit herself after the news came through from the club medical staff that she'd sufficiently recovered from the ACL injury she sustained in June to play in the next AFLW competition, whenever that might be, given the industrial issues still in play. Gabby Newton was the fated number one pick. She's going to Footscray. There were two father-daughter selections, Isabella Grant following her pater to Footscray, and Millie Brown, who I first met when she was in a pram going to Geelong, where her father Paul played 84 games, and he also played in my old band, the Mullets. Rock on, Millie.
Well, you've certainly done your research on that one.
Started when she was in her cot.
in football, it's sort of Groundhog Day, really. But we're still excited about it. Another Sam Kerr award story. Those cabinet makers are going to be earning
they certainly
a lot.
Are. Hamish, this time we're talking arguably about the most prestigious individual award in the world game. It's called the Ballon d'Or. It's judged by journalists, coaches and captains of national teams. Kerr is the only Australian, male or female, to be among the nominations. And we do know she has been nominated before and in the eyes of some, largely green and gold eyes, it might be said, egregiously overlooked for the top prize. She finished fifth last year. Now, look, her performances this year, 4 goals in the one World Cup game, that was against Jamaica, and of course the leading goal scorer in the national leagues here in Australia and just most recently in the United States. They do put her back in real contention again, particularly if she can help the Chicago Red Stars win the NWSL final against the North Carolina Courage early next Monday morning Australian time. And starting around about 6:30 Australian Eastern time, Hamish, I guess we'll be all over that game. But it's a big moment for Sam Kerr there. But I think this time there's a big push coming from around the world that finally she needs recognition for all she's done in the world game, particularly among the Europeans.
And I'm sure you watched, as we all did, with bemusement, some of the comments being made by Leighton Hewitt about his relationship with Nick Kyrgios, who's been picked in our Davis Cup squad for next month's reshaped competition in Spain.
I'm sure eyes rolled everywhere, not just in this household. Hamish, look, Leighton Hewitt concedes what we all know, that Nick Kyrgios is different, but we all know this too. When focused, he's still the number one male tennis player in these parts and still among the best in the world when he's at his best. And now, apparently, after a few injuries, and not to mention what we've already alluded to, the confrontation with officialdom, which put a dent in his fob pocket and also has him on probation, he's apparently training the house down in Canberra and will be ready to do his best for Australia in Spain next month, Hamish.
Well, it'll be entertaining, no matter what. And Warwick, at 7:30, I think we might talk to you a little bit about rugby before we chat to Raylene Castle.
I certainly think we'll do that. Lots of fallout still from that quarterfinal loss, Hamish.
Thank you very much indeed. Let's talk sport now. Warwick Hadfield is here. Let's start with the cricket, Warwick. One day and T20 games on all over the country today, and a lot of eyes on David Warner.
All over the country. It is summer, and cricket is the summer game. And Davey Warner, bereft of form, but of course never confidence. After all, he's David Warner. He's playing for New South Wales against Tasmania in this odd game, one day domestic, at North Sydney Oval, where a miss hit by anybody can be a 6, and one off that huge bit of timber little Davey carries around might need money for the Harbour Bridge toll. Look, and he has form there too, as he attempts to rebuild his career, really, after a disappointing Ashes series. He once made 197, and that's a lot of runs in a one day. So it's there for the taking for David Warner to rebuild his image and form in the eyes of most Australians. He's lucky too, he opens the batting, because with so many world-class players in the New South Wales side and against their Tasmanian side without some of its best, there might be a few who don't get a bat for the Blues. Now, Queensland plays South Australia and WA plays the Vics. And in women's cricket, there's a T20 domestic game, aka the big balderdash, between the Melbourne Renegades and Perth Scorchers. That starts at 1 o'clock today, Hamish.
In rugby union, obviously, the fallout continues after the Wallabies' quarterfinal exit from the World Cup. We're going to be talking to Raelene Castle in a few moments' time. What's your take on the World Cup performance, on the state of rugby in Australia? Because there seems to be this sort of avalanche of bloodletting suddenly.
Well, I think the first thing to really realise is Australia was never really going to win the World Cup. There was just not the depth of talent to do it up against England and of course, the might of the All Blacks. I think it's fair to say that rugby football is facing the biggest challenge to its future since 1908, of course, when some of the best players left to go and set up rugby league. The players arrived yesterday, along with Michael Checker, back to in Australia at the airport. And I think the fact that a current affair was there to greet them tells you this is more than a sports story. The bloodletting, I mean, the main protagonist is still Michael Checker, even though he's effectively quit as coach. And that comment of his that he'd fallen out with ARU officials, I was interested to hear Andrew Slack, who I regard as one of the more sensible and perceptive people in rugby union football, express his disappointment at Checker's outburst and also to call for a full and independent audit of what the Wallabies did and didn't do in Japan. And I think Australian rugby union officials could do a lot worse than appoint Andrew Slack to head up that. And look, there's another question I posed on Twitter yesterday, which reflects a bit of a downturn in the rugby union talent pool. How much is all those AFL goalposts at private schools around Sydney and Brisbane, how much are they costing Australian rugby union? How many Lewis Robert Thompsons are shifting from rugby to Australian rules? And then also how many second rowers, locks, as they're called in rugby union, the big tall guys are becoming ruckmen in the AFL. They do assure us the next generation of rugby players coming through in the schoolboys and the age teams are replete with talent. But I guess the main challenge is to keep them in the game, Hamish.
Warwick, we'll put some of those questions to Raelene Castle. Thank you very much indeed.
Good on you, Hamish.